Good morning. I'm sorry we were a bit late. It's Ian's fault, but it's okay. But it's a beautiful drive. You know, one of the things I love about coming to New Zealand is I love driving. Because wherever you drive, it's beautiful. Isn't it? Whether it's the north or the south, it's just the countryside is just so beautiful. So I tell all my friends, when you come to New Zealand, drive. Don't get the plane, just drive and drive and drive. I think we drove all down the South Island last time I was here. It was so awesome. Anyway, I want to bring an American group. You know, if you didn't know, I take groups to Ireland and Scotland every year. If you're interested, let me know. It's awesome. It's not a mission trip, though. And it's not even a ministry trip. It's a chill out, get drunk in the spirit and get delivered trip. So we don't do a lot of religious thing, but God shows up. And we just have an awesome, amazing time. We go to the little villages, you know, the little pubs, all the little mountain stuff. And never quite sure where we're going to end up, but it's really great. So like I said, if you're interested, let me have your email. And so I want to bring a group next year from America over here. So maybe like to the North and the South Island, they can do that Lord of the Rings tour. You know, the Americans love all that. So I might go down to Queenstown this weekend just to sort out a few things. And I mean, you know, Americans, they love to mix with people. I like to be with the people, so that's what I'm trying to sort out, so you can pray for that. I need the right connections, you know. You've got to have the right connections, haven't you? Anyway, I want to tell you a story about, you know, I believe, some of you are familiar with my ministry, but you can say it after me. I believe the realm of the spirit, supernatural realm, the angels, heavenly visitations, the chariots of God, and all that good stuff is meant to be normal, 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 normal part of my life. If it's not, I'm being ripped off. Yeah, see, so I do believe that, so that's what I'm all about. Actually, we've heard a lot recently of even, you know, in the meeting, people have just been going off on heavenly visitations and chariots and everything. We had some awesome testimonies yesterday. And people really touched because God, you know, God loves to reveal things himself, doesn't he? You know, he's the revelator. The Holy Spirit is the honey. He's the revelator. So I smelled honey this morning when I came in. That's the spirit of revelation. So when God takes you himself to give you revelation, isn't that awesome? You're never the same again. And you know, something happened a couple of weeks ago, and I was just kind of overwhelmed by it. But I was in Derby in England. People going in chariots, going to visitations like in the middle of the meeting. It was really awesome. This one lady from London, she told the Lord, you know, she's one of those people that loves nature. She said to the Lord, I really want to know how a volcano works. So he took her and he took her inside a volcano and showed her how it works. Then he took her and he showed her a volcano underwater and showed her how that worked. Then he takes her up over this land. Then he takes her into heaven. And she's in heaven walking with Jesus. He's shown her different things. And they're suddenly in this huge library. He said there were thousands of books. And he walked over and he pulled this one book out and it had her name on it. You see, so he's got this book with her name. And so he's going to open the book. And she suddenly heard my voice bringing people back to the meeting. You see, because, you know, you have to end the meeting sometime and, you know, go home. So she heard my voice calling people back to the meeting, and Jesus said to her, it's okay, you go, we can finish this later. And I'm like, he sent her back to my meeting. I was like, what? Really? She said, yes. He said, go ahead. We can finish this later. I was like, are you sure? See, so, you know, sometimes we think he's so busy in the heavenly realm. But he regards our meeting. He regards, isn't that, I was like blown away. I still can't get over it. Anyway, I noticed that a lot of the things, you know, the spiritual realm is like this much away, isn't it? Just step in. Well, in a blink of an eye. And so I wanted to just share something to you. I thought you might like my story. Because, you know, when we think of the manifestations of God, we think probably about healing, prophecy, the gifts of the Spirit, miracles. Is that right? That's what we kind of usually think of. But I believe this move now, God's taking things that we know in here, and he's just absolutely demonstrating them. Because the only way people know that God is real is how? By what really what they see. You know, people aren't really affected by our theology very much. They're definitely not affected by our religion. They could care less. But if you've got something good, they might want that. You know, my husband tells people, if you've got the joy, at least tell your face about it. And so I just want to share this story. I have got a word, but I want to tell you this story because it was just amazing. But a couple of years ago, I flew into Sydney, and I know Sydney because I fly out of Sydney all the time. I know Sydney Airport very well, almost like I know Atlanta. It's actually harder to know Atlanta because Atlanta has 8 huge terminals. So I do know Sydney Airport well. So I came into the airport, and you know, I had 3 cases because I have my books and CDs and stuff. And one time when I came through, because I had 3 cases, they stopped me. You say, why have you got 3 cases? So I said, well, I've got a little product churches asked me to bring. So then they wanted to look at it. They open my case. They see living in the supernatural, angels watching over you, spirits, you know. So then they think I'm a cult, some kind of cult, because they see all this, you know, see. And it took me about 40 minutes to convince them that I wasn't a weird cult, that I wasn't going to set up some kind of strange religion. They let me go, but it was a hassle. So the next time I came in, I had 3 cases, you see. And I said to God, you know, I don't want to have this hassle again with my cases. Because I can talk myself out of it, but I'd rather not. So I've got my cases, you know, on the luggage, whatever. And okay, well, I have to get that line, you know, that line that goes to this. But anyway, this lady came up to me and she said, you. I said, yeah. She said, let me see your customs declaration. And I thought, oh, they got me. See? So she puts this big red line. And I thought, definitely they've got me. She said, go over that door in the corner. Well, I didn't know. I've never been through a door in the corner because you go this way. You see, so she'd go through that door. So I thought, they're waiting for me. She said, I've got my car, go over to the corner. Went through the door, I'm in the main terminal. No security, no nothing. So I thought, wow, this is neat, you know. So thank you, Lord. So then the next week I flew out to New Zealand, flew back into the same terminal. So I'm very happy, you know why? Because I know what to do. I know you go to that door in the corner and I'll be in the main terminal. So I took my cart and stuff and I went over to the corner. Guess what? There's no door. There's no door of any kind, only a wall. So I'm like, yeah, so I was a little ticked off, really, you know. So I said to God, look, it's great making doors and stuff, but I think if you make them, you should leave them because it's confusing. So I got back in the line, you know, and I really wasn't happy. And so I'm in this line, you know how you do this, don't you? So I'm with this lady near where they take all your stuff to scan it. This man came up, you see, and he said, "You and you." I don't know who the other lady was. We said, "Yes." He said, "Go through that door right there." You see, so she said, "What did we do?" I said, "I don't know, we've got to go through that door." I know where I was, you see, so there's not usually any doors there. Anyway, so we got our carts, we went through the door. Guess what? We're in the main terminal, you see, past all that control and everything. So, I said, thank you, God, but, you know, I think personally it's better to keep them in the same place. And so the next time when I flew in, last time, I'm a little bit leery about the door thing. See, where is this going to... So I got my car, I went to the first place. There is no door, it's just a wall. I go back to the second place, I know where I was. There's no door, there's just a wall. No door whatsoever. So I said to the Lord, you know, I don't know, understand this door business, because if you wanted to be a door, you should be a door in the same place, you see. I said, making these doors. He said, "But I am the door." I said, "Well, I know you're the door, you know, because you're like, you're the door into heaven." So he said, "No, I can be a door." I said, "Well, I know you can be a door, like up there." He said, "No, I can be a door. Anywhere I can be a door, I am the door." And I'm like, I finally got it, you see. So I said, "Why are you going to do this again?" You see, because now I'm in the line, you see, getting nervous now. I've still got three cases. So I get to the end of this line, you know, where you turn. So I get up here, and this little man comes up to me. He's in a uniform, I don't know who he was. He didn't speak to me, he goes... I said, "Pardon?" He said... I said, "What?" So I look behind him, guess what? There's a door. So I know why he didn't speak. Anyway, I said, "Okay." So I turned the handle, I went through the door. I was in the side of the airport. I didn't go through anything. I was at the side of the airport. So, you know, the Lord said to me, "Anything you read, I can be." I mean, it's like, you know, what I'm saying is we're used to seeing the manifestations, healings, miracles, prophecy, the gifts, people falling on the floor, whatever. But God is making some things that are so, I mean, so real. You know, something, we talk about, you know, we sing that song, "Heaven Touching Earth." Well, you know what, it's so this much away. All he wants us to do is believe it. Believe it and expand our vision a little bit. You know, I noticed something that now, you know, God's doing such unusual things and he's not asking our approval. And he's not asking our opinion. He's just doing stuff, so... You know, we put God in a box. Sometimes we put ourselves in a box, don't we? We can have boxes that are created by family, church, school teacher, friends, people know you. And so we kind of create these boxes for ourselves, which I believe God is very busy breaking. See this? Yeah. He's very busy breaking, you see, because he wants all his deposit to come out. He deposited his life in you. And guess what? He's looking for a return. He's looking for a return on his deposit. That's why it's not time for anybody to sit there and say that spirit stuff is for them. Those spirit people. You see, and they disqualify themselves because they don't feel qualified or something, you know. And people say that to me all the time. It's all right for those spirit people over there, you know, they sit over there, the spirit people. But you know what? It's for everybody. Everyone's included. Everyone's included, because when Jesus died and rose again, guess what? He qualified you 100%. He took the test and he passed it. There's not another test. This guy said to me the other day, you know, if we went in chariots in my church, we'd have to have a license. Because they make you qualify for everything. But Jesus, he qualified you 100% so that you can receive everything. So you have to remember, God gets glory when we receive the promise. God gets glory when we receive the promise, so it's in his interest to make sure we receive. You know, don't be somewhere where they don't want you to do anything, you know, sit down. Actually, I've been in places where the church says, we want you all to prophesy. So people stand up and prophesy and they say, sit down. Stand up, oh, sit down. He says, it's time for everyone to, you know, be where they're drawing out all your gifting and calling. Because we all have things to do and places to go. Right? So I'm so open. I'm so open. Because doors can open and that you never thought of. And you know what? Suddenly, there can be an open door. But you know, the thing is, you have to be standing at the door. Because like I said, doors can open and close. You have to be at the door. But you know, I tell people, you only got one life to live down here. So you might as well have fun. Yes. You might as well have some adventures. Yes. You know. You got one shot, guys. You're not coming back as a seagull or something. This is it. This is it. So you might as well. But seriously, doors do open and close sometimes, you know. And I was in Macon, that's where I live, by the way, Macon, Georgia. You can tell by my accent. Macon's very redneck country. You know, they all have guns, and I like being there because they all have guns. And they like me because I'm different, you know, very English in the middle of this redneck people. But, you know, if you wonder why Americans are so weird about their guns, it's not about guns. It's about the Constitution. So that's why, you know, not everybody's running crazy trying to have a gun. The gun is not about the guns, just in case you didn't understand that. It's about the Constitution. Anyway, so in Macon, Georgia, you know, it's like the buckle on the Southern Bible Belt. Very religious place, actually. And I have a lot of friends there. They go to church looking reasonably happy. And they come out looking like they ate a plate of lemons. They don't look happy again till they get to the cafeteria before the Baptist. So anyway, he wants to draw out of you all your giftings, all your callings, because this move is not going to be one or two people on a platform. It's got to be everybody, hasn't it? So anyway, when I was in Macon one time, my kids would go to a youth group or something. Sometimes they'd go check it out. Well, this new church started, you see, so I want to go check it out because my kids were going there, my daughters. And it was pretty free and, you know, a lot of young people. And while I was there, the Lord gave me a vision. And the vision actually was of a door. And I saw people leaning against the door, waiting for the door to open. And I saw some other people, and they were over here. They were kind of doing stuff, but they kept an eye on the door. And there were some people over here doing stuff, didn't even know there was a door. Oblivious. So suddenly I saw the door open. The people that were leaning on it fell through. The people that saw it made a run for it. The people over here didn't even know it opened. because they didn't know it was there in the first place. So the door opened, then it closed, you see. And the Lord gave me a word, and I still think it's relevant. He said, you have to be at the door. I mean, if you really believe that your life's supposed to be full of adventure and full of doors, open doors and everything, you have to be at the door, don't you? You have to be conscious of the door. You have to be willing. Sometimes you have to go out on a limb a little bit, don't you? How many been out on a limb before? It's not that hard, actually, because you can always crawl back again. It's when you go out on a limb and then you hear the sound of the saw behind you. So anyway, I gave this word in this meeting because I saw the door open and close. It didn't, you know. Sometimes there's windows of opportunity. Sometimes there's doors that are open and close. If you don't take the opportunities, it can be a while before that comes around again. Isn't that true? So I say to people, you know, what have you got to lose? I mean, what have we got to lose, really? We got one shot. You know, I mean, I know people, I know ladies, like they're about 80. They've never been anywhere, really, but suddenly they got touched by God, and they took off. Because God is raising up an army of wild grandmas. I made a mistake yesterday in the meeting and said, there's a wild grandma in you. Well, Ian responded and totally threw me off my message. Because he spoke out in this high, do it. But God's raising up an army of wild grandmas, so, you know, I say, don't mess with the grandmas. They've been around longer than you. You know, they can hang in longer than you can. And, you know, I love this story. When I had that word, it was on Elijah List, and in my local paper the next week, had an account of this little lady in Warner Robins, the next town. And this lady had a stick, you know. She's about like 78 or something. And this young guy broke into her house. And she sent him to the hospital. And it's a confirmation. It was. And then, you might have seen this yourself. It was on the news. It was all over the internet. This little old lady outside of Walmart's. And she had a car, you know, the disabled car space. And she got in the car to leave, and this young guy got in the car. And he said, move out, lady, because I want the car. So she locked the doors, said, you're not going anywhere. You're going to listen to me. And she preached to him for about 20 minutes. Then she unlocked the doors and said, you can go now. Now, that's a true story. You see, so there's wild grandmas. If you haven't got one, ask someone to adopt you. You know, I get people to adopt me, you know, and if you're a wild grandma and you've got room to pray for some more people, go and adopt a few families or something. Maybe you don't have a wild grandma. Anyone tell you one story, then I have an invitation for you this morning. Is that okay? I want to tell this story because it's a story that I tell a lot, but I love it because God's so outside the box. You see, you don't realize that you have a box until God does something totally outside the box. And then you have to make a decision, don't you? You know, you're going to let God be God, or... Do you know, there was a time when I was a good old fundamentalist, evangelical, theological, ultra-Calvinistic person, I didn't believe you could get saved without the four spiritual laws. The little tract, yeah, I believed that. If you didn't have the four spiritual laws, you weren't really saved. It was pathetic. Anyway, so, you know, we came into revival and all that. But I want to tell you a story because we've got to let God out of the box. This move that's coming, you will see things you never saw before. You see, so you have to learn to listen to the witness in your spirit, because your mind's not going to tell you anything. You don't have a reference, do you? You don't have a reference. You never saw that before. So you have to learn to listen here. So what happened in Atlanta, I tell this story a lot because it breaks a lot of boxes. And I could tell you 100 of these stories, actually doing a book of them. But in Atlanta, my friend had, North Atlanta, she had four little girls under five. Two of them were twins. And these girls got an anointing to raise cats from the dead. They raised four cats from the dead. Now, you've got to start somewhere. I raised a cat from the dead. You've got to start where you're at, haven't you? You know. So anyway, they raised four cats from the dead. Now, the last one was their own cat. And it died. She reckons it was poisoned. But she didn't want to tell them, so she buried the cat in the yard. But which was dumb, because the next day, the little girls are looking for the cat. Kitty, 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 kitty. So then she had to tell them what happened. You see, so they were sad. They said, "Mom, where did you bury it?" So she told them, and they went and got a Bible. So she thought they were going to have a little service, you know, make a little cross, read some scriptures. Well, they came back with the cat. The cat's covered in dirt, and it's mad. Cat's mad. I raised a cat from the dead, and it was mad too. So they bring it home. They said, "Mom, put it in the sink and wash it, and don't do that again." So she put it in the sink, and she blow-dried it and everything, you know. And so they lived on a subdivision, a nice subdivision. Well, guess what? The neighbours... See, this is the thing about your neighbours, your unsaved friends and everything. They are not stupid. They may not want your religion, but they're not dumb either. If something's happening, you'd be surprised what people will do if they think something's really happening, especially if it comes to healing. Anyway, so the neighbours started bringing all their animals over, you see. So the little girls, "Well, that's all right, they're God's creatures. Oh, they would anoint them with oil and pray, you know." Now, some of the animals got healed. You know, some of them, there wasn't anything wrong with them. But, you know, people love their pets, don't they? Sometimes people love their pets more than their husband. But people would do things for their pets that they wouldn't do for themselves. Is that right? It's true, you know. So anyway, the neighbours bringing their pets, you see, and they're anointing them with oil, and some are getting healed, and they're all getting blessed, you know. I mean, the Catholic Church has a blessing service every year, doesn't it? Anoints all the animals. Yeah, I do too. This girl, just a little while ago, she came, she's in my prayer line, you know, and she had a bunny rabbit. I said, "What's wrong with the bunny?" She said, "He's not feeling quite himself." I said, "How do you know that?" She said, "By the way, he's looking at me." Okay. It's okay, I know he's dealing with oil. I've seen little pets healed in my meetings. And they're God's creatures. Anyway, so guess what? These people that are not dumb figured out, if God can heal those animals, maybe he could heal us too. People started taking themselves. The little girls were praying for people. People were getting healed. People started to get saved. This little revival broke out in this subdivision in North Atlanta, in Marietta. So a friend of mine, they have a church up there, and the youth pastor knew this family, so he went over to check it out and found that's all perfectly true. So he's not stupid either. He thought, "That's right, people love their pets." So he put a notice in the paper. 3 o'clock in the park, Saturday, pet healing service. He got the young people out there, you know, with jars of oil. Guess what? There was lines and lines of people. People would call each other because people love their pets. If they think something's happening, you know, there was lines of people with their hamsters, rats, dogs, cats, bunny rabbits, everything. So they just anointed everything with oil, you know, chill for about 3 hours, actually. It's annoying me. There's loads and loads of people because people do love their pets. And my little grandson, he had a rat. Now, he used to, he used to keep it in his pocket with his head poking out. He's like, "It loves you, Nana. You want to pet it?" I'm like... But anyway, but guess what, though? By 6 o'clock, there's lines of people waiting to get prayed for. They were there till midnight. People were getting saved. People were getting healed. People were waiting to get prophesied over. They got about 100 people saved that night. But it was, see, through nothing of our usual evangelical outreach. You know what I mean? So, you know, I tell people you have to be open. You have to be open because, you know what, God knows how to do it. Doesn't he? It could be something you never thought of in your life. You have to keep your antenna up. That's what I tell people. Come on, guys. Put your antenna up. That's all it is. Isn't it? The spirit realm, that's all it is, really. Is put your antenna up. So I'm so open. I can hear from God. You don't know what the door might be. That week, actually, that I saw that vision, my daughter, she said to me, she's only 16, she said, "Mom, God wants me to work in the government." I said, "Oh, maybe you can go down and work in the Republican office in Macon." She said, "No, I'm going to be on Capitol Hill." I said, "Lisa, they don't have 16-year-olds on Capitol Hill." She said, "They're going to have me." Well, guess what? On Tuesday, she gets a call. Guess where from? Capitol Hill. "Would you like to come and work for Tom DeLay for a while?" He was the chief whip. She said, "Yes, I would." She's already at the door. They said, "You have to come tomorrow, because on Thursday they'll give it to someone else." That was a 24-hour door. But she was at the door. You see, when she got to Capitol Hill the next night, she had a major prophetic word for Tom DeLay that actually saved his bacon. And this other little girl, she was 15, she was in that meeting. And she wanted to go to England. She felt God told her to go to England. She saved up money for a ticket. She saved $500. But the tickets were all $800. And she got in the shower the next day, and the Holy Spirit said to her, "Get out of the shower and call British Airways." So she got out of the shower, she called British Airways. Guess what? 24-hour ticket sale. Yeah, you see, so you be willing, and God opens doors. We have to be at the door. See, it's not the end of the year yet, you know. There's still some time for some suddenlies. The word is called, what's the word? Spontaneous. The Holy Spirit can be very spontaneous, can't he? Suddenly. Okay. Do you want to hear another crazy story? Or should I just give you this? It's crazy though. Wild story. Shall I tell you another wild story? Because you've got to be open. Sounds crazy, but you know, I can't help it. I have angels in my house, they do strange things sometimes. But things happen. This guy... I love telling this story because it shocks people. But you know, sometimes it's good to be shocked, isn't it? Sometimes it's like you need a... This guy was emailing me. Send me these prophetic words. I thought, whoa, it's some kind of prophet I missed. It's really good. I said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'll send you my testimony." I said, "Don't send me 20 pages. He said, "I'll make it short." This was his testimony. This guy been on drugs since he was 7. His parents were major drug dealers in Detroit. So he has no relationships, really, with anybody. He's been high as a kite since he was 7 years old. He's got a little dog, though. Dog's called Osgood. Say Osgood. I've got a picture of Osgood on my phone. So his friend lets him use his cabin by the lake. He went up there for a week with Osgood. And he's, you know, on his flights. He called them flights. So he's on this out there in this space land somewhere on drugs, you see. And he suddenly looks at Osgood, and he thought he would like Osgood to enjoy this. Now, he said he prayed. I have no idea what he prayed over Osgood. He never prayed in his life. Never been to a church, anything, had no idea. He prayed over Osgood, and Osgood ran around like the Energizer Bunny for about 3 hours, and he got a bit alarmed. He said, "Osgood, calm down." Osgood sat down, he laid down. He said he was out there in space, and suddenly he heard Osgood talking to him. Now, listen, that's his only friend. He heard Osgood talking to him. Osgood led him to the Lord. He got saved. Met Jesus. See, this was Jesus. This is his only connection to anything. He got saved. Now he's talking to Jesus as well. It's Osgood. The next day, Osgood keeps encouraging him. He's talking to Jesus too. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. Totally delivered from drugs, completely delivered from homosexuality, speaking in tongues and prophesying, because he doesn't know what's happening to him. Then on Sunday he thought, you know, I think I'm a Christian. So I met Jesus, didn't I, Osgood? And Osgood said, woof. So he thinks, oh, I think that's what that church thing is all about. So he takes Osgood in the car and they drove down into Detroit. And he found some kind of church. I don't know what kind of church it was. So he goes into the church with Osgood, and these deacons came running out. He said, "You can't bring that dog into the sanctuary." He said, "Why not? He led me to the Lord." Anyway, he found a church. So I met his pastor, and I met him, and I met Osgood. So my God will do what it takes to reach someone. See, he knows you. He knows you. I mean, he doesn't talk to Osgood now, you know, except to pat him on the head. But I mean, you see, we're not going to put God in a box, are we? Because he can do anything. He can tell you to do something that you like. How many of you done for something, God told you to do something, you didn't understand why you did it? Wasn't that fun, though, when you saw the end of it? Yeah. There's a lot of people out there that God wants to touch. You know, they're not, I hate to tell you, but they're not coming to church. You have to find them out there, don't you? They don't like what they think is church. But you know what? Some of them are hungry. There's a lot of people that are hungry. There's a lot of people that are hungry. If you can listen to the Holy Spirit and do it his way and not our religious way, God can just, phew. In fact, I was on this plane a while ago coming from Houston. I was sitting in first class and the flight attendant, she says to me, "Aren't you Kathy Walters?" Can't tell because I changed my hair, you know. I said, "Yes." She said, "I was in your meeting." She said, "Could you come and pray for the other flight attendant? She's a Baptist." I said, "No, I'm not praying for a Baptist on a plane. You know, Baptists don't want you to pray for them, especially on a plane." She said, "No, she's hungry." So I went to the front and I started praying for the little girl, you know. "Lord, give me a word of knowledge." She's all excited. This businessman got up out of business class and he pulled on her jacket, the flight attendant. He said, "Excuse me, where's our drinks?" She said, "Could you sit down? We're praying." I said, "Okay." When he sat down like a good little businessman. But when I finished praying, you know, I walked back to my seat and he pulled on my jacket. He said, "Excuse me." I thought I was going to tell me off. He said, "Do we all get a wish?" I said, "Why not? Wish is a desire of the heart. God loves you." I prayed for everybody for a wish. Afterwards, someone started asking me questions, you know, about God. So you don't have to jump on people. You can just let God open doors. I think that's what's going to happen now. More people out there you know, as you believe, you know, God moves in your faith. As you believe, things just happen. I had this lady, I was at the airport, I just felt the anointing. This lady came up to me and said, there's nothing free, is there? They just come up and say things like that. There's nothing free, is there? Well, I do know one thing. This guy said to me the other day, why are you all shining? I said, I don't know, it must be to do with Jesus. He said, Jesus? Jesus makes people shiny. I said, so actually in Scotland, people still call you a shiny Christian. They mean they're lively, but they still use that term. He's a shiny Christian, she's a shiny Christian. Yeah. I got in the elevator with this couple. Going down to the next floor, this lady says to me, who are you? You like this one, though. I got in the elevator. I came out of the Sky Lounge, first class lounge, with this guy. He says to me, do you read tarot cards? I said, no. Why would you even say that? So I'm like, shocked. Why would you even say that to someone you don't know? He said, well, you look like a gypsy. I just came out of the first class lounge with you. I'm like, people said, oh, you should have prophesied. But you know, at the time, you don't think of it, do you? Like, so my husband picked me up, you know. I got in the van and I told him, I said, David, this man asked me if I read tarot cards and said I looked like a gypsy. I was stunned. He said, it's probably your hat. I said, what's wrong with my hat? He said, Kathy, you're not a normal person. Like silence all the way to Macon. Have strange conversations with my husband, do you? Very strange conversations. Anyway, let me share with you. My little invitation today. So I'm looking at Jeremiah. No, Jeremiah chapter 1. I love Jeremiah chapter 1. Because it talks about, I feel sorry for Jeremiah in a way. You know, because he seems to be sitting around not doing much. Minding his own business. And actually, you know, Jeremiah was a teenager. Sometimes when we think about Jeremiah, we think of an old man with a beard running around the country doing prophetic seminars. But he actually was a kid. And poor Jeremiah sitting around. Suddenly, God showed up, said, hey, Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I sanctified you, ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. Now, that's pretty heavy to put on somebody that's minding their own business. And Jeremiah said, you got the wrong person. Well, he did, didn't he? Said, I can't speak, I'm just a kid. But, you know, he said, you got the wrong person. Have you ever said that? It's God. I think you got the wrong person here, you know. I know when God, this angel told me to go to Siberia, I said, no, that's the wrong, you've got the wrong person. I'm not a Siberia person. Anyway, that's another story. Anyway, then the Lord said, he said it even worse. I mean, he said, don't even say that, because you're going to tell, go to all I send you. Whatever I command you, you're going to speak. Then he said, don't be afraid of them. I love this bit, because I am with you and I will rescue you. So if God tells you, if God gives you a word that says I'm going to rescue you, guess what? That means you're going to need rescuing. So your mind takes a step back at this point. Is that true, though? If I said to you, you know, come and visit me in America, and don't worry about it, I'll rescue you. You're like... So then, you know, I'll rescue you. Then the Lord touched his mouth. And then he was like really heavy. Wow. I put my words in your mouth this day. I've set you over nations. This is a lot for, you know, a kid that's not doing anything. Over nations, root out, pull down, destroy, throw down, build and plant. That's whoa. I think you meant the pastor, not me. But anyway, but then God said something very interesting to Jeremiah. See, Jeremiah knew a little bit about faith because his dad was a preacher. He said, Jeremiah, what do you see? And Jeremiah had a vision. How many had a vision? Yesterday, everybody had a vision. Because I taught people, everybody can have a vision. I'll give you a little key. You have to believe what you begin to see. Then you'll see more. So everybody had a vision. Even this guy that kept telling me. I said, what can you see? He said, I can see black. I prayed for him. I said, what can you see now? He said, black. I said, no, look beyond the black. I break the black. And he went to this big, long vision. Awesome. So I see visions all the time. They're in your spirit all the time, aren't they? They are. Prophecies in your spirit all the time. Heavenly visitations, that's where your spirit man lives. That's why you can have visitations, visit heaven. That's your home. Yeah. See your spirit man, that's the real you. Isn't it? That's eternal, that's where he lives, in the spirit realm. You're just going to agree. Okay, so back to Jeremiah. What do you see? So Jeremiah had a vision. He said, I see the rod of an almond tree, or the branch of an almond tree. And actually the branch of an almond tree represents someone who provokes. So he actually prophesied his own vision, his own ministry. Didn't he? Because that's what he became. He didn't run around saying, bless you, bless you. He provoked. He was very provocative. But he didn't know that at the time, of course. He said, I see the branch of an almond tree. So, do you know what God said? This is for you this morning, I believe. God said, I like that vision. I think I'll do it. If you want the King James, it says, you have well seen, I'll hasten my word and perform it. But in other words, God said, I like that vision. I think I'll do it. Isn't that amazing? He can put something in your spirit for you to see that he's going to come and do. Whoa. Down my back. So, this is my question. For you, you see, you might see while you live in Hamilton or a little town in New Zealand, you might fly over to Australia or something. But this is God's question. What do you see? I'm not even talking about your family right now. I'm talking about you personally. It has to start with you personally. I'm not talking about your church or your town. I'm just about you. Because everything comes from what you see for yourself, isn't it? If you don't see something for yourself... because every one of us has a destiny, is that right? You've been taught that for years. Every one of us has a destiny. Well, guess what? Most times, that destiny is so much bigger. And it's so much greater than anything you could ever conceive. You see, we can sit in a little house or a little town, and you know what? Your faith goes up like a periscope. And you can look all around the world. Right? In the spirit realm. So God said, okay, what do you see? Say for me, I'm not talking about your family even right now. I mean, I'm including your family, but you, what do you see? The next couple of days, I believe this is a serious question for you here this morning. The next couple of days, take a little time with your favorite CD or whatever. Don't start praying in tongues, really. Don't start reach. Sit. Chill. Relax. Be like a feather. But get into faith and say, Holy Spirit, I want to see what you see for my life. And I dare you to start believing what you see. You know, and as you start to see something, if you believe it, you'll see more. You might see a little thing, but as you keep believing, you might see the whole continent of Africa. You might see a little town, but if you keep looking, you might see the whole of Europe. You know, because he sees the whole picture. I know he wants us to see the whole picture. He doesn't want us wandering around the 100-acre wood like Pooh Bear. Whatever will be, will be. It's Doris Day theology, not Holy Ghost theology. Bumping into trees. That's other people's opinion. He wants you to see. Now look, some of you are a little bit older. You can see. Do you remember the old TVs we had? They were like this wide, weren't they? Like the old computers. Do you remember what used to happen when the tube used to go? The picture would shrink, wouldn't it? Nobody wanted to buy new tubes. It was expensive. So you're doing this. Because the picture shrank. Well, you know what? Most of us see a shrunken picture. Because of our box. It's true. Because of people that know you. That's just June, that's Sally. So they know you after the flesh. That's what Paul said, I don't know anybody. Do you know when you see each other, you have to see what's in them. That's not just John and Joe and Jack. That's the Son of God. That's royalty. You just yelled at. It's true. So you have to see what God sees. Otherwise, we don't honor one another. You know, we all mess up, you know. Some of us, occasionally. What I do. You didn't pray over it or anything, did you? We had drunk water in the meeting. Ooh. Tastes like orange. Tastes like orange juice. No, tastes like vanilla. You've had water changed 15 times. All different kinds of fruit. Want some? So, we see a shrunken picture mostly because of what's around us and, you know, how people view you, your family, the Sunday school, you know, I said all that stuff. But, you know, God wants to break that because that's how we don't only put a limit on ourselves, we put a limit on God. But it's not, you see, it's not what you can do through God, it's what God can do through you. That's different. Because you know what? You have a little limit there, but he doesn't. There's no limit. If you can learn this, look, stop working for Jesus. He doesn't want you to work for him. Sorry. He doesn't want you. He's not running around Hamilton today trying to recruit workers for the kingdom. Thanks all the same. Don't call us, we'll call you. He's not trying to recruit workers. He's looking for his sons and daughters to stand up and rise up and be who he called them to be. See, it's not about working for him, it's about yielding. If you learn to yield to the anointing, much more will happen in a lot less time with a lot less effort. I'm not into working at it. striving and trying can take you out of the spirit so fast. See, it's not working. He doesn't want you to work for him. Stop. Quit. Just yield to the anointing. He'll do so much more when it's him, isn't it? He just wants to move through you. It's him that works through us, both to will and to do, of his good pleasure. Just let him. It's fun. The more you're out the way, the better off it'll be. How many times you've been in a restaurant and it got really stupid? The whole conversation is really silly. Everybody gets sillier and sillier. And suddenly the anointing falls. Because this is out the way. And you can just let God do whatever. So then you can prophesy around the restaurant. Anyway, you understand what I said. It's just an invitation. I can't make you do anything. I'm not about to try. Pastor isn't either. We know better than that. Been around a while. You don't try and make people do anything, do you? That backfires. But it is an invitation. Because I believe there's people here this morning that you have a destiny and a vision that's much bigger than you thought. You see, now's the time, isn't it? This move's coming. God doesn't want us to decide things by what we can do or even what we know. Sometimes you have to step into what he knows. You step into, you didn't know anything about that. You see, so it's like letting go. Hey, this is a good thing to say. Say, Jesus, whatever. That's not like whatever. It's not that. It's whatever. And this is, you know, in Ireland, in the 5th century, I have some books I wrote about Ireland, the 5th century, Patrick, Brendan, Bridget, all those people. But they had, from the monasteries sometimes, the monks came from the monasteries, they were called the Peregrini, and they would get in a little boat off the shores of Ireland. The boat had no rudder and no oars. They trusted God to send the winds to take them where they were supposed to go. They were called the Peregrini. That's what I call having a spirit of abandonment to the purposes of God. They had awesome adventures, by the way, because they let God. It's in my book, That Celtic Flames. And you know what? I can feel like water all around my legs. I know when I feel that invitation's there for that Peregrini spirit. The Peregrini. And it's really stepping into that boat, not bringing your oars. The oars are works. The Bible says that. You see, and getting God, trusting God to send the winds to take you where you're supposed to go. The only thing you have to do is be light as a feather. Drop all the heavy stuff. It doesn't help you. Heavy religious spirits don't help you. They're not your friends. The lighter you are, the better off you'll be. Is that right? Is that right? Because that, all that heavy, it's not spiritual. It's religious and soulish. My friends used to go to those intercession conferences in America. Man. They'd come back like this. They'd say, you must come next time. I'm like... Religious spirits always try and make you do what only God can do. He just wants to flow through you. That's why there's not a limit on what God can do. So you, if you just be willing, that's all it is. You don't have to go to school to get, there's not a Peregrini school. You have to go to Peregrini College. And if you qualify, it's a heart thing, isn't it? So anyway, I'm going to just leave you with that invitation. I believe it is an invitation because I believe there are people, I can see it. I can see the anointing on people that is for much more for much more than you think. You know, God's not telling you to do something, or he's telling you to be available and let him move through you, and you having the courage to see what he's got for you. You see, you might see something very big. You don't know how can you do that? Well, that's not your job to do it. Your job is to walk towards it. See, somebody, this boy said to me the other day, he said, Miss Kathy, when I went into this vision, I saw the whole continent of Europe. He said, I don't even know anyone in Europe. I said, start praying for Europe. Get on the internet, see what God's doing in Europe. Put some things on the wall. Believe God to open the right door for you. You know, you can go through one door, can't you? And the one door can lead you to 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 doors. I know somebody went through one little door, and behind that one door were 67 doors. They went, ministered this one church, 67 churches opened up to them. You didn't know that. Are you excited? Yes. So I'm so free. That's the only requirement, is that you're light as a feather, so that you don't interfere. Yeah, don't interfere. Just let him. I've got to put my lips in. I can't stand not having lipstick, sorry. You should, because I don't like. I've even done that on TV. Sid Roth saying. Yeah, I did. I forgot. You ever tried to talk to someone with your eyes? My friend got me up to her church. He did. Tricked me. When I got up there, it's full of women hating men. Like this. She never said a word. But I'm trying to look at her like, I'm going to kill you. But she's reading her Bible. Anyway, I would tell you, if you're serious, don't leave it beyond 2 days because you won't do it. Just take 10 or 15 minutes, seriously. Because there's a serious call on your life. There's a tremendous anointing here for evangelism. And I don't mean knocking at doors. I mean to be open and just minister, love people. You don't know what will get you into the gospel. Can you? You can talk to someone about paint. And they suddenly say something like, and you get to tell them about Jesus. So the anointing is all over my life. And the favor of God is all over my life. And I'm so qualified. And I'm so available. I prophesy all the time. I have so many visions, I don't know what to do with them. I have heavenly visitations all the time. The angels are in my house all the time. Yeah. So that is true? You're just agreeing with your spirit man, which is the real you. So can I just pray something? Lord, I just pray right now for everyone in here who's serious. You know what? You can fulfill the will of God or be bored. Because God has adventures. So if I just release a spirit of faith and a vision for people to see, not what their mom sees or their friend sees, but what you see. Father, I break that limit thing. I break the boxes. Father, I pray a spirit of faith will come so people will keep looking and see the whole picture. See the whole picture. And when you see the whole picture, believe it. Get excited. Put a foot in that direction. Don't be like Pooh Bear. You can be like Pooh Bear. He loves the honey anyway. Pooh Bear loves the honey. He'd do anything to get the honey. Say that for him. He did. He'd do anything to get the honey. This is a bit of revelation. So, you don't know where you might be. If you're serious, you don't know where you might be. Do you? My poor little friend came to visit me in America. The next minute she's in Canada. Back in America, Australia, now she's here. She says, what am I doing here? I only came to see you. Can I just share a few things I've got on my book table? I don't have a lot of stuff left, but you know, get rid of all the heavy stuff because you don't need it. You know, some people feel they have to try and meet every need. Well, unless you're God, I wouldn't try that. I just do what God tells you to do. You know, a lot of us are need orientated, but you can't do that either. Sometimes God wants to use someone else. Sometimes he wants to use himself. So you do what he tells you to do. Say what he tells you to say. Go where he tells you to go. And a lot of needs will be met. That's a byproduct. But it won't be all up to you, will it? Because you're not the Holy Spirit. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm very glad that you're not God. So I'm even gladder that I'm not God either. Okay, I have 3 CDs on the seer anointing. You probably all know what that is. It's a prophetic gift, but the Lord moves a lot in your senses, taste, touch, feel, smell. And I have some of these CDs that have several books on, different books, my Celtic books and my faith books and angels books and everything. Yeah, they're really good value. Because this, like some of them have 10 books on. This is the same kind of thing. I've got a few of these left, Faith and Angels. It's a teaching about how to move from believing to faith. There's a difference between believing. You can believe something till the cows come home and not receive it. Because you have to receive by faith. A whole teaching about angels. I believe you need to know about angels. They minister to you. They minister with you. You can't have relationships with angels. But you do need to know what their function is. Yeah, there are angels appointed to your ministry. There's an angel appointed every one of you in here. Do you know there's an angel? You're his assignment. You're his assignment. He never leaves you. His main concern is to help you fulfill the purposes of God in your life. But he laughed with you. Let me just tell you this. Help. They're falling off there. Let me just tell you this. Your angel that's assigned to you, you're his assignment. He ministers to you. That's what the Bible says. Ministering spirit. Your angel, he sings to you all the time. Did you know that? How many of you woke up with a song? Where did that come from? I haven't sung that for 10 years. Where do you think that comes from? That's your angel ministering to you. And you know what? He's not ministering to you to entertain you. He's ministering to you because he's ministering to you. You have to see what he's singing. See what he's singing. Oh, there's... So we're singing, you're in the car, you suddenly got a song. Where's that come from? Well, I haven't sung that for 15 years. I got a song yesterday, I haven't sung it for 40 years. He's ministering to you in the song. You suddenly got a scripture. Suddenly tell you something. Suddenly tickle you because you're getting too heavy. It does. The angels don't like the heavy stuff. Angels hate religious spirits, by the way. Because religious spirits distort the nature of God. I've seen angels disrupt religious meetings because of what the people were receiving. When it's the Holy Spirit's kind of in you, I know that's what you were going to ask me. When it's the Holy Spirit's kind of in you, when it's the angel, it's suddenly in your ear. And there's angels in your ministry. So let's teach their faith in angels. This is one my husband did. Children of Flame. children in revival. My husband's had, he has roomfuls of children frozen in the spirit for hours. They're all in heaven. He used to go in the schools in England. They had to close the school often because the power of God fell on the kids. They'd be laid out in the playing fields, corridors. They have to close the school. Say this after me. Children do not have a junior Holy Spirit. Look, in a healing meeting my husband had a little while ago, he prays for the kids, they get under the anointing, he sits down, he doesn't pray for anybody, he lets them pray for everybody. These two people that were married, they're deaf and dumb since birth. Healed like that, 2 6-year-olds. Afterwards they said, who prayed for you? They said, we don't know, some kids. How many of you know you've got a book in you? This is really good. Tips to unlocking the book within you. Just makes it really easy. You want it? I haven't known none now, but you can get on my website and you can download it if you're interested in writing. Get in touch with me. We have a publishing company. My daughters do books for people. They format it and everything, do beautiful covers and put it on Amazon for you. And Kindle and whatever. You know, the great thing these days, you can order... You can buy 10 books, you don't have to buy 5,000 books now. You can buy 10 or 20, make them available, sell them, keep them on Amazon, your friends can buy them, and you get a little commission check. And my husband, there's a couple of these children's Bible study books, not story books, Bible study books. There's stuff in his Bible study books that most adults don't know. There's questions and answers, and they're really, really good. So I'm just going to pray. Thank you, Lord. I just bind up any religious negative words that have gone in your ears from the past. And it's interrupted your vision or your flow. I come against any abortion spirit where you've been in a church or ministry where there's a move of God and it got aborted. And I break that right now. I command words to come out that are negative and religious, that put you in a box. I commission the angels to sing to you the songs of Zion and minister to you. I just pray you'll be full of light. Your house will be full of light. The angels will use your house if it's available. Say it's available. And I pray the heavy things will be broken. Anything that people have put on you, any condemnation or... make you think you're not qualified, or you know, the spirit stuff is for those people over there because it's your inheritance too. Say mine. You know, when God gives you something, you have to own it, don't you? You have to mine. You can't say that's interesting, I'll write that in my Bible. You won't get anything that way because you got it. I like that little lady that was sick, remember? She couldn't have been very strong because she was sick for a long time. She had that issue of blood, remember? And she suddenly saw the source of her healing. So there was a big crowd there. She didn't stand there and say, well, Jesus knows where I am if he wants to heal me. Jesus knows where I live if he wants to fill me with the Holy Spirit. She said, get out of the way, get out of the way. Get out of the way, mine! You know what it says? She pushed. She pushed people out. That's rude. That's rude. But she didn't have any time to lose because she didn't know when she'd get another door. I have some of these too. You guys told me to do this. What are they called? What? See, now you use memory stick. This is a memory stick. Has loads of books and CDs on this little thing right here. Which you can just... That's a good deal too. See, every country calls them something different. I don't know if I'm on my head or my heels. Oh, it's a jump. It's a jump. Somewhere it's a jump. I think, yeah, someone, my beautiful friend up there, she's doing my book table, so. And don't forget, if you're interested in my island trips, or Wales in England in October, or you could, actually, you could help me with this group I'm bringing over here. You could join in that, couldn't you? That'd be fun. What's Hobbiton? Oh, Hobbiton. Is that the Hobbits? What's Hobbiton? What's Hobbiton? Oh, Hobbits. Oh, that's fun. What was that wizard guy in Lord of the Rings? Gandalf. This lady came to me in a comment. She said, how could you take people to Lord of the Rings? How could you go there? I said, I was hoping to get a word from Gandalf. You can't help it, can you? You know what I mean? People say stuff to me, they're asking for trouble. Because I'm going to provoke them. Do you know what somebody said to me on Facebook the other day? Got on my Facebook and said, you, Kathy Waters, you get too mad at the devil. I said, I haven't taken a whip to anyone yet, but it's coming. Don't get too mad at the devil. We should be more tolerant, be more balanced. You know, gotta have some healings, but you know, have a bit of sickness to balance it up. I don't know what people mean by that. You know, have some wealth, but you know, have some poverty. It's got to be balanced. Have some joy, but not too much. You know, have a bit of sadness. Balance means staying in the spirit all the time. Don't get too joyful. Don't get too mad at the devil. Don't you get too mad at the devil. But I'll tell you what happened to me when I went to Hawaii. I started to get this rash. My husband said, go to the doctor and see what that is. So I went to the doctor. He said, you have shingles. I said, I don't. He said, you do. I said, I don't. He said, I'm going to give you something for it. I said, I got something for it. He said, I'm giving you something anyway. I said, I already got something. He said, you're going to be in pain for 5 months. So I said, I'm not. He said, you are. I said, I'm not. I came home, I got on the plane the next day. It's a 10-hour flight to Hawaii. I was mad. I prayed in tongues for 10 hours. They were saying, have another wine, Mrs. Waters. Have a wine, have a whiskey or something. Even when I went to the bathroom, I said, guess what? When I got to Hawaii, he didn't have shingles. I said, you know what? It didn't like me. Oh, it's lovely coming here again, you'll see.